Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Leading discussions at Life Group has been exactly like public speaking. Some of them already knew this, others were shocked, never suspecting, and others were so grateful for the authenticity that it has since spurred them on to greater heights to conquer this very same fear. I'm here today in response to Luke's invitation. He asked me to tell you about a specific angle of my life journey, namely starting out in trepidation and fear to serve here at Living Waters, to an outcome that he has described as confidence in the Spirit. The most fitting analogy I have of my fear factor is the following. Imagine for a moment you accept the challenge of the big rush, big swing, the world's tallest swing, as recorded in the Guinness Book of Records since 2011. To get to the jumping ledge, you have to climb up 300 stairs. You get to the ledge, and what you thought would be a dignified little hop off becomes a very necessary giant leap. You hesitate, and your guide decides a good push will do the trick. You free fall 80 meters, or 262 feet, and then swing into a massive 200-meter arc, pendulum effect for several swings. You're not lowered to the ground when your momentum stops, but then you're winched up to the very same ledge you just leapt off. You then begin the 300 stairs descent until in another 2 weeks' time, another jump, in my case, Life Group, will be required of you. Now, I've actually done this big rush, big jump. I did it in January 2013 in Durban, South Africa. And it honestly was a walk in the park in comparison to the mind games and spiritual stronghold I've had to work past through in the past couple of years. I wholeheartedly believe that God ordained this exact time and place for my family, my husband Ian and my son Conan, who's 23, to continue on with our lives. We arrived here from South Africa in August 2007. We love living here in BC, and Canada has been good to us. But in our first 4 years, we had to navigate through several life challenges that undermined our self-confidence. Never my faith in the Lord, never, but certainly faith in myself and my capabilities. Both Ian and I were already over the age of 40, and to my absolute horror, I failed my learner's license the first time, which did not bode well for still having to learn on the other side of the road. Our life savings business investment, this is more serious now, in an automotive repair company, diminished terribly. And we survived with the sale after 3 years, but we found ourselves in a very precarious financial position, unexpectedly up against factors outside of our control. It was totally opposite to the dream and the intention and the assumption that we'd arrived with, and it was scary, especially at our age with new beginnings in a new country. Very sadly, the tangible opportunity to adopt a little boy fell through in 2009, and I was devastated. A curtain was drawn over the dream to grow our family. Then my sister's family and another South African family we've been doing home church with moved from Canada within 3 months of each other. And in one foul swoop, we found that our family of three and one nephew were all that remained here. We lost a huge part of integrated daily living, our support structure, and our spiritual family, and our family. And then in January 2011, Living Waters Church became our safe place. I had the privilege of completing the women's leadership course with Leanne McAllister and Julie Simeon. The following year, I gained a better understanding of my individuality, my personality, the value of my experiences, both good and bad, my skills, and my spiritual gifting. I learned that as a woman, I need not be afraid of the word leader, that in essence it means to be a person of influence. And I gained a renewed understanding of my potential in Christ, that I could make a difference in the lives of others, even here in the furthest place on earth from my hometown, Durban. When Leanne asked me to lead a ladies' life group, my heart was ready, but my mind and my spirit were not ready for the battle that would ensue. And why so much angst and why so fearful, you may ask? Well, fear manifests differently for all of us. Hosting, I love to do. But the responsibility of leading God's women with wisdom, spiritual insight, understanding and love, and looking out for their spiritual well-being was totally overwhelming. The fear of failing, the fear of not meeting expectation, the fear of criticism, whether it was real or imagined. It was a fear of rejection, the fear of speaking out to avoid being exposed as inadequate, the fear of thinking people may judge, the fear that I might hurt someone or that I would get hurt. I also fell into the trap of comparison. I may not be as educated as the rest of the group, not as qualified to lead. I'm not theologically trained. I'm not professionally trained. I'm not necessarily as holy as the others. I'm not familiar with Canadian culture. I'm a foreigner, and I have an accent. And that's quite funny, because in hindsight now, when we look at our group today, we have ladies from England, Nigeria, Jamaica, Sweden, Germany, Belgium, America, South Africa, and Canada, and everybody has an accent. So you're probably thinking now, wow, this woman was really full of insecurities. Well, some yes, and then not again, not all. Fear and intimidation are the ploy of the enemy, intended to keep us from God-given destiny. I definitely found myself in a spiritual battle. My sanity and my solace was found in regular prayer for me by my husband, Ian, and by being transparent with our leaders and our pastors. On one occasion, Doug prayed for me for supernatural confidence, and that is something that I continue to ask the Lord for. But primarily, my weapons were found in Scripture. A particular conversation of reluctance helped me, and perhaps it will be of help to you today. In Exodus 3 and 4, God says to Moses, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt. And Moses has five responses. But who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? What if the Israelites ask me, what is the name of the God of your fathers? Then what shall I tell them? What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? O Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since in speech. And since you've spoken to your servants, I'm still slow of speech and tongue. O Lord, please send someone else to do it, was his fifth answer. My thoughts here were, who am I in Langley? Nobody knows me. Nobody knows my heritage, my family, or my name at that stage. And God reminded me, I know you, my daughter. I know your name. I even know how many hairs are on your head. I said, Lord, I have a problem articulating thoughts and feelings into words, particularly in a small group setting. And Lord, I'm a good team player, but I prefer to stay in the background and not necessarily facilitate. And God reminded me, you have been given a life with talents and gifts, and most importantly, victory stories that are important to give away. I am your source and security. Your competence and adequacy come directly from me. God's word to me and to you today is the same as it was to Moses back then. I will be with you. I am who I am, your dependable and faithful God. I am with you. I will speak. I will help you to speak, and I will teach you what to say. One of my personal favorite character transformations in Scripture is the disciple Peter, who I imagine as a big, burly man, a rugged fisherman, unschooled, ordinary man who we remember as being timid and a coward when he denies knowing Jesus three times. Yet later, filled with the Holy Spirit, God equips that same man to build his church. In Acts, we read how he literally stands up, he raises his voice, and I imagine a deep, booming voice, and addresses the crowd. He testifies confidently. He courageously pleads with them. He warns them, is forthright, and performs a miracle by the authority of Christ in him. What an inspiration he is to all of us. Not so long ago, I had written in my journal, "Lord, I'm not sure anyone really wants to hear what I have to say." And I felt him say, "That's true, but they need to hear what I say. I'm still learning to speak his truth with courage and assurance and boldness." And at this point, I'd like to say thank you. I'm not sure that any of my life group are at this service today, but I thank them for giving my life purpose and meaning here in Langley. The most amazing group of women who have become my friends, and friends to each other, and their input in my life has just, with the myriad of backgrounds and faith walks and giftings and personalities, is enriching beyond words and deeply treasured. And also thank you to leadership here, the pastors, for just your encouragement in every kind of way. I thank my husband Ian, he's not here either right now, but for his unwavering belief. And then for all glory to be given to God, our rock, our sure foundation, our protector, our defender, our counselor, our guide, and our friend.